Okay, so we're in Perek Biz, in Braisa Dalet. And what did we do last week? What was last week's topic? The breaking of the Luchos, right. Asher Kach Shishibarta. Okay, so let's see. So we're talking about people who did things. If you remember, we looked at the Gemara in Makos last time. Novus Terminosum was saying a similar thing. Things that people did that HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed off on. So there are things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did, which were well-received, and things he did that were not so well-received. See, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Melech Yehuda, right, was a very chashuv individual. He came and he started the whole Torah revolution. Of course, his son Menashe went back and undid all of that, and more or less, you know, brought Klal Yisrael back into the world of pagan idol worship. But Chizkiyahu HaMelech did a lot to mechazik Klal Yisrael. Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yehuda asa arba dvarim. He did four things. And Hashem said, "You did a good job." Gana Sefer Refuos Shenemar Vatov Veinech Asisi. He hid the Sefer Refuos. Now, what is this Sefer Refuos? Okay, so if you look at the commentary at the bottom of the page, four lines from the bottom. Lefisha Lo Hayal Libam Nichna Al Cholim or Cholyam Ela Misrapin Miyad. Apparently, again, there's Midrashim, there's Gemaras. They give the background to this Sefer Refuos. How did it come to be? Where did it come from? The Ramban mentions something similar to this, or maybe this, in his Hakdama to Chumash. A book that had mamish everything you could want to know to heal yourself. But the problem is, when a person was sick, they knew that nothing could happen to them because they had this unbelievable book, Misrapin Miyad, according to Rashi and Psachim. And therefore he said, it's causing damage to people's Amunah and Bitachon and Hashem. People are taking control, and therefore he hid, he was nignas, he put it away, the Sefer Refuos. It's Pasuk in Yeshaya, Vatov Beinech Asisi. Hatov Shagana Sefer Refuos, V'skima Daito L'dasa Makom, Hashem said Shkoyach, good idea, now people will believe in me. Kites Nachash HaNechoshes, he crushed up, he destroyed the Nachash HaNechoshes, Shenemar V'kitas Nachash HaNechoshes, Shere Asa Moshe. The Nachash HaNechoshes, Moshe made, of course, for a very necessary reason. The problem was, after that time period, it became a source of Avodah Zarah. Ki adayam ha'ema ha'yu b'nei Yisrael mekatrim lo. It says in Malachim Beis that people were mekatrim, they were offering incense to it. So he decided to destroy it. And obviously that was what Hashem would like. He removed all sorts of other unholy places of worship. Shenemar. Yechizkiyahu hisiras b'mosav es mizbechosav v'yomer lihudah v'yushalayim lemor lifnei mizbeach echad tishtachavu v'alav taktir. Only one mizbeach will be used, and in one place shall you bow and offer incense. Of course, that one place is the mizbeach of the Beis Hamikdash. Yechizkiyahu l'dasamakom. And lastly, and this is what we're going to focus on in some roundabout way. Sasam me'gichon, he clogged up the Gichon water channel, which is really very necessary for Yerushalayim to survive. But what happened? If you remember the story, it's in a couple of places. It's in Divrei Yom, it's also in Malachim. It's in Chizkiyahu's story is in Malachim. In Yeshaya is where it really tells the story of what happened when Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, came, and it was looking bad for Klal Yisrael. And Chizkiyahu was Mechazik people. Things are going to be good. And of course, if you remember, the most remarkable, the greatest upset in all of probably the history of war, it was on that fateful night when the Malach came and 185,000 soldiers of Ashur did not wake up the next morning. That's it, a plague. But my Gifa in the middle of the night, boom, it was done. But it was a courageous move to block up the Gichon. Why did he block up the Gichon? What was Chizkiyahu thinking of blocking up the Gichon? He was worried that as Sancheirev came to cause trouble for Yerushalayim, he was going to find this unbelievable water supply. And they'd rather cut off the water supply with the hope of not, you know, assisting Sancheirev in that way, even if that meant troubles for the Jews. Of course, Chizkiyahu had his water tunnels and all sorts of other systems, unbelievable systems for its time, of you know, allowing water to pass throughout the Ir David. But he blocked up the Gichon. And according to Avos Terminosum, it was a good idea. The pasuk says, and he redirected it downward, ma'arava, towards the west, le'ir David. He was trying to keep the water channels pointed towards the Jews and away from Ashur. And again, this was a very good idea. Now, what's our topic tonight? Our topic tonight is the following. If you look in Brachos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara says that there were in fact six things that Chizkiyahu did. Three were well received and three were not. On the list of the three that were not well received, now well received here doesn't mean well received by Hashem. Let's just be careful here. Well received and well received also meant three things that Hashem desired. Here we're talking about Gimel Hodulo Val Gimel Lo Hodulo. There were three that they said was good, and three that they said were not good. Now who's the they? Is the they the Chachamim? Is the they the popular vote? Okay, but either way, you'll notice where it's underlined, Sasa me Gichon velo Hodulo. He blocked up the Gichon, and people thought that was not a great idea. So what is the Gichon? If you look in Rashi, two lines from the top, Sasa me Gichon, also known as the Mei Shiloach. Okay, that's already a statement that Rashi is making. To say that the Gichon and the Mei Shiloach are one and the same is maybe yes, maybe no. It's discussed. The Mei Shiloach is mentioned in the Yeshaya Paraches. It's not mentioned over there in Divrei Yamin where Rashi is quoting. It's not called Mei Shiloach there. V'lama, why did he do so? Okay, as you learn Divrei Yamin with the Mefarshim there, it says, Kedei Shalo Yavau Malchei Asher V'yimsau Mayim Lishtos. So that Sanherib and his armies shouldn't find magnificent water supplies. Says Rashi, V'lo zehu gichon hanar hagadol. Dahu lav be'eret Yisrael hu. Ella Mayan katanhu samach liyushalayim. So says Rashi, don't confuse this gichon with another gichon. Which gichon is the other gichon? If you look at the beginning of the Torah, I wrote the four names on the side. At the beginning of Bereishis, it talks about the four rivers that emerge from Gan Eden. Pishon, Gichon, Chidekel, and Paras. Right? Nahar Gadol usually refers to the Nahar Pras. But here Rashi says that the Gichon is the Nahar Gadol. Okay, maybe it just means a Nahar Gadol. We're not going to go there right now. But that Nahar Gadol that's called Gichon is not in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gichon that we're talking about in the context of Chizkiyahu is the water supply of Ir David. It's talking about Yerushalayim, right? It's a Mayan Katan who's Samach Yerushalayim. Shenemar v'haradetem oso el Gichon. That's where kings were sometimes appointed, by the Gichon waters. Umetargamin, and over there it says in the Targum, V'tachton yasei l'shilucha, right? The Mea Shiloach, as she's making that link. But what you see from this is that sometimes in Tanakh, we have to be careful, sometimes you have places or identities where it appears to be one thing, and it can easily be confused with something else. Example number one, the Gichon. Don't confuse the Gichon being described in Divrei Hayamim and elsewhere in Tanakh as the Gichon being described at the beginning of Bereishis. So let's look around a little bit and let's learn about this. We'll learn a little bit of some fascinating examples of this where we find either people being confused or we find places being confused or potential, not necessarily confused, but potential for them to be confused. To clarify that sometimes there's more than one person with a particular name, there's more than one place or geographical location, whether it's a river and the like with a common name. And then maybe we'll be able to learn something on Derech Avodah, what it means for us in our Avodas Hashem. So if you look in the Kisei Rachman, now, if we open up the back of the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Tavos de Reynasa, that's printed in the Vilna Shas, you'll see a commentary there called Kisei Rachamim. That's the same Kisei Rachamim as this Kisei Rachamim. It's written by the Chida. Only problem is, the version we have in the Gemara is the short version. This is the long version. Why did he call it Sefer Kisei Rachamim? It's just interesting. Because the Sefer is a commentary on three of the minor tractates. Meseches Kala, Meseches Sofrim, and Meseches Avos de Reynasa. So Kisei is Vashitevos, Kala, Sofrim, and Avosturi Nasa. Okay, Kisei Rachman from the Chida. So he quotes Rashi in Brachos, Sasa Mei Gichon, Perish Rashi, Parakama de Brachos, we just saw that, Yoram Abayis, the Einzeh Gichon from the Dalid Naharos of Gan Eden, Dahu Lav Beret Yisraelu, Gan Eden wasn't in Eret Yisrael, Elhu Mayan Katan B'Yushalayim, this in fact is a reference to something else, V'nikro Mei Shiloach, like we find elsewhere, fine. V'ayin beget Pashud, of the Maharam Ibn Chaviv in Simen Kof Chav Ches Siv Katan Lamed Zayin Udolo Kerabi Avram Ben Ezra Vaharama Peperek Gimel De Horius. Now I don't know, the Ibn Ezra didn't write a commentary on Horius as far as I know. He says it's quoted, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about here, maybe Rabbi Avram Ben Ezra here is not Ibn Ezra. I'll tell you why I think it is in a second. And the Ramah with a hey, they're both quoted by the Ein Yaakov. Shapir Shehu Midal Naharos. That in fact, the Gichon being described here is that Gichon. All right, so now we have to work out the geography. Again, I'm here mostly tonight to point out things. You can do as much or as little research on this as you'd like. Because Avti Bashar Yosef, now the Chidah wrote a commentary on a very lengthy commentary, very excellent commentary on Maseches Horus called the Shar Yosef. And over there he writes, Detainas Rashi Chazaka. I feel that Rashi makes sense geographically based on the knowledge of what we know from Tanakh. It seems to make sense that this Gichon and that Gichon are not the same. The Targum translates it as the Me'a Shiloach, which again we want to argue is maybe the same as the Me'a Gichon of Yerushalayim, of Yer David. V'harash b'tos v'osav, alongside Maseches Horus, on the Daf, in the Gemara, we have in our Gemara, this is the Tosfos Harash. And over there, V'harash b'tos v'osav, Sham B'horios, Pirish Karashi, he agrees with Rashi. I saw that Ibn Ezra himself in Bereishis, the Kasa Viadua de Gichon Karuv Laret Yisrael, Tichsiv Varatim al Gichon, he seems to be linking the two, Vanachna Loneda, and I don't know what to make of this. It's hard for us to understand even what the sheet of the Ibn Ezra is, what the geographical realities are. But again, you see that there's some discussion as to whether this Gichon is that Gichon. So let's look around a little bit. I'll save the best example for last. I'll just show you very quickly a couple other examples that I found. And you know what the main lesson of tonight's shir is? Take notes. If you take notes, you'll be able to organize things, and you'll be able to find interesting things. And whether this topic excites you or not, it's the product of a lot of years of writing down little Meir Makomos here and there. And eventually, you're able to put something together. Whether it's a shir you like or not, I'll leave it up to you. But it is a shir. I think it's a shir. There's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, very interesting, two psukim in Tanakh. Vayered Shimshon Timnas. Shimshon went down to a place called Timnas. And it says, by Yehuda, by Tamar, Hine chamich ola Timnasa. Your father-in-law is coming up to Timnas. So what's the problem? In Shoftim it says, Shimshon has to go down to Timnas. In Chumash it says that Yehuda went up to Timnas. So how do you get to Timnas? You go up or down? Now, what's the Baal Batish answer? It depends where you're coming from. So let's see what the Gemara says. Amar Belazar, Shimshon shenizganaba ksiv beyirida. Shimshon, who this maisa was his undoing, it's called the yirida for him, because his decision and desire to go to Timnas ruined him. Yehuda shenis alaba Yehuda, who in a roundabout kind of way, Mashiach comes from that relationship with Yehuda and Tamar. It was a good thing, so that's why it's called an aliyah. It's not talking about the geographical location of Timnas. It's talking about the spiritual effect that Timnas had on Shimshon and Yehuda. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Shtei Timnaos Hayo. There's no confusion here. If you're confused, it's only because you don't know the geography. There's two places called Timnas. One is Birida, and one is Baalia. There's the higher Timnas, and there's the lower Timnas. And again, if you understood the geography, you would know what I was talking about, says Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. Rav Papa Amar, I disagree. Welcome.
Okay.
Please, Bechavo, jump in. Rav Papa says, you missed all the warnings, a lot of warnings today. Rav Papa says, there's only one place called Timna, what are you talking about? And it depends which direction you're traveling from. Dasi mihai gisa yirido, dasi mihai gisa aliyah. Kigon vardonio ube bari vishoka dinash. There are certain places Rashi describes that are positioned on a slope, and therefore, you know, depending on if you're going up the hill or down, it's not a flat area, so you have to approach it either on a descent or an ascent. But again, you see a possibility that you could have some confusion in understanding Pesukim in Tanakh if you don't realize, at least according to one Mandamar, one of the Tanayim, that there are two places called Timnas. That's in fact the simplest way to resolve, again, what's the most accurate way to resolve the question is a debate amongst the Tanayim over here in Maseches Sota. Amoram, Tanaim, Amoram. Tanaim and Amoram. I'm not sure. Okay. Another example. Page 5. Now this, if you open up a Mikros Gedolos on the Megillos, Megillos Rus, you're not going to find the classic Mepharshim quoting this. I found this in Art Scroll. Whoever wrote the Art Scroll commentary, I didn't even get a chance to look. Whoever wrote the Art Scroll commentary, the English commentary on Megillos Rus, he suggests this on his own. And I looked at all the Mepharshim. Okay. I mean, I'm sure someone says it. But it's suggested here as a bracketed comment, whoever, again, wrote this when the Archville first started translating sections of Tanakh and doing a nice work. So in the Archville Tanakh series on Megillas Rus, we know at the beginning of Megillas Rus, it says that there was a man, and where was he from? Beis Lechem Yehuda. Why do you have to tell me Beis Lechem Yehuda? Everyone knows that Bethlehem is in Judah, in the territory of Judah. So he writes here, a very nice chiddush. He says, perhaps Yehuda in Judah is mentioned to distinguish it from the other Bethlehem in Zvulun. There are two places called Beis Lechem. Now if you don't know that, right, you might get confused. You might be reading and see that a man from Beis Lechem travels. You might think, oh, Beis Lechem in the territory of Zvulun. Because the Tanakh Bekiyas is so excellent, I'll remember that. In Sefer Yehoshua, in Perek Yotes, there's a place in the territory of Zvulun called Beis Lechem. So therefore, when we're learning Megillah Esrus, it dafka goes out of the way. The Pasuk says, "Mi Beis Lechem Yehuda." Don't be confused with the Beis Lechem in the territory of Zvulun. Beginning of Maseches Gittin describes that when a get comes from Medina Sayam, there needs to be a declaration of witnesses. Hamevi get Medina Sayam, Tzarach Sheyomar, Befanai Nechta, Befanai Nechta. And then there's a whole discussion exactly what are the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So if you look towards the end of the Mishnah, the line that begins with the word Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mirekem Lemizrach, Virekem Kimizrach. In describing the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it says that Rekem is the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael, and the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael, and Rekem is Kimizrach. It's like the east. So what does that mean? Is it part of Israel or is it not part of Israel? So Rashi says, Dibur Mastel Virekem. Virekem Atzma Nidonas Kimizrach Ha'olam Velok Eretz Yisrael. It's the border, right? It's Ad Ve'Lod B'chal. It's not included. Right? Up to Rekem is still called Eretz Yisrael. Rekem and beyond is already on the outs. It's already considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, very nice. Rekem is the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. But says Tosfos, geographically it's not true. We know about Rekem. Okay. We know from elsewhere that Rekem is not in fact located on the east of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore Tosfos is forced to conclude where it's the arrows and the bracket is in Tosfos, Dibur Maslava Ashkelon Kedarum, Vish Lomar de Tre Rekem Vecheger Havu. There's two places called Rekem. There's two places called Cheger. Vaoso Rekem Vecheger Dhsiv Gabe Avram, when it talks about places in Avram, right? But it says Vayashabin Ben Kalishabin Shur, and Targum translates it as Rekem and Cheger, which is in the territory of Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, which is where Va'oso Hayu Be'eretz Yisrael, Dimistama Da'avram Yitzchak Hayu Darim Be'eretz Yisrael. Must be that those places are in Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshua also talks about Eretz Plishtim, Va'oso Rekem V'Chegar Hayu B'Ma'arava Shal Eretz Yisrael. We know those places, that Rekem, as being described by the Chumash to be on the west of Eretz Yisrael. De Plishtim B'Ma'arava Diyam Plishtim Hu Gvul Ma'arav Shal Eretz Yisrael. So how can the Mishnah come out now and tell us that Rekem is the extreme eastern border of Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos doesn't know what to do with it. And therefore they're forced to conclude that there's two places called Rekem. There's one on the east and there's one on the west. And again, if not for the detective work of Tosfos, you could be very confused in trying to understand these different places called Rekem. We haven't heard so much about Rekem. May not be a place, a name, a classic name from Tanakh that resonates with us. But what about a place called Beersheba? How many Beershevas are there in the Torah? How many Beershevas are there in Tanakh? Do we have to say that anytime we find Beersheba in all of Tanakh, it's the same Beersheba? So on page 7, a parsha told us, describes how Yitzchak made a festive meal with Avimelech and his chevra, who had come to there was first the fighting over wells, and then they come to some type of agreement. Ve'yas lehem mishta, ve'yochlu ve'yishtu, pasuk lamed. Ve'ashkiu v'boker, ve'yishavu ish la'achiv, ve'yishalchem Yitzchak, ve'yochlu me'yitov v'shalom, and Yitzchak sends off Avimelech and his chevra. Ve'yi v'yom ahu, ve'yavo avdi Yitzchak, ve'yigidu lo al'odos ha'be'er asher chafaru. And all of a sudden, on that same very day, the servants of Yitzchak come and they say, listen, good news, we found water. Unbelievable. So Shiva. And they called that well Shiva. Okay, and Shema Ir Be'er Sheva Ad Hayom Hazeh. And therefore this place is known as Be'er Sheva until this day. Now where are we looking? We're looking in Parshas Toldos. But if you remember back in Parshas Vayera in Perichav Aleph, we already were told that Avram had an interaction in a place called Be'er Sheva. And the truth is later in Malachim Aleph, we're again introduced to another place called Be'er Sheva. And while I don't know much about any of these Beershevas, the Rashbam does. And therefore the Rashbam writes, very fascinatingly, on Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Alkein Shema Ir Beersheva, Ve'ein Zo Oso Beersheva Shel Avram. This is not the same as the Beersheva in Perachav Aleph. We're all the way to Perachav Vav now. on the verge of Parachav Zion. Kishnei Be'er Sheva Hayu. There was another Be'er Sheva. How do I know for sure there's at least one other Be'er Sheva? Maybe even more than one Be'er Sheva, but at least one more Be'er Sheva. Kedichsiv, like it says in Malachim Aleph, Parakites, Vayavo Be'er Sheva Asher Yehuda. It describes the Be'er Sheva of Yehuda. Mashva, again, same way I told us, Beis Lechem Yehuda and Megillas Rus, to distinguish it from the other Bethlehem. The Be'er Sheva of Yehuda is to distinguish it from the other Be'er Sheva. So again, it's important for us to realize that all of these places can easily be confused. Now, some of these places are major, some are less major. Imagine a person who wanted to go and visit a grave of a tzaddik. You know, people are spending time in recent days by Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, his yard site, the Rav Melech, the beginning to go to, you know, there's chartered planes, and people go to Rabbi Nachman for Rosh Hashanah, people go to be by the big tzaddikim, right? So, how about a big tzaddik whose place of patira is known to us? A big tzaddik we might want to visit. Who's that? Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know where he's buried. Aaron tells us in the Torah where he's buried. Where's he buried? He's buried on Hor HaHar. All right, so I have to figure out where Hor HaHar is. The problem is, how many places have that name? So the sefer called the Kovetz Drushim. The Kovetz Drushim, I'm very happy that I found this Kovetz Drushim. Why was I happy? Because sometimes when I go over to the CJF building, they have this thing that they do on the internet called Chomer Ledrush. What's Chomer Ledrush? They do like these, like, I don't know, webcasts for rabbis to they have other rabbis give drushos so that other rabbis can like take their drushos and then reuse them. Which to me is like, I don't know, I just think of like the Piazetzner who says like if you're singing, someone else is making, it's like swallowing someone else's spit. And say, like, Rabbi should make his own drasha. No, I mean, yeah, obviously we're going to get our ideas from other sfarim. I guess it's not any different. But, like, to dafka set it up, like, I'm going to help you make a drasha, like, you know, if you can't make your own drasha, you probably shouldn't be the rabbi. I don't know. But anyways, in Tuf Reish Pei Zayin, once upon a time, there was a whole series of sfarim, of journals coming out called the Kovetz Drushim. What was the Kovetz Drushim? The Kovetz Drushim was put out by the Agudas Rabbanim of Poland. And it was exactly that. It was to help people to have mamish, the lashon on the shahr daf is chomer ledrush. The rabbi, I don't know, I guess these were big lamdanim. They didn't necessarily know how to give a nice, you know, a little vart on the parsha. So they were at chomer ledrush. And different big rabbis throughout Europe would write in to these volumes. So this is the sixth volume from Tuf Reish Pei Zayin. I don't recognize the Rav's name who sent in a whole bunch of comments on different parshios to give rabbis good things to talk about. Yehuda Leib Hertz. I'm not sure who he was. But he writes in Parshas Maaseh an interesting thing. We know, it says in Parshas Maaseh, I wrote down the part of the Pasuk he didn't give to us. Pasuk says, V'zeh yalachem gvul tzafon min hayam agadol, titau lachem hor har. Right? To the north of the Yam HaGadol, you should turn towards Hor HaHar. Turn northward towards Hor HaHar. Perish Rashi. Shehu b'miktsoa tzfonis ma'aravis. Apparently Hor HaHar is located somewhere northwest. Visham titu. And when you turn from where you're standing towards Hor HaHar, you're turning north. Letzafon el Hor HaHar. Okay. Pasuk. Pasuk and Parshas Maaseh. No big deal, right? He says, wait a minute. Very big deal. Go back a little bit. Go back just a drop, actually, to Perek Lamed Gimel, and you'll see the Hor HaHar Hu Biktsei Eretz Edom. The Torah clearly identifies Hor HaHar as being the edge, the outskirts of Eretz Edom. Okay, why is that so problematic? It's problematic for the following reason. It says in Parshas Chukas, Hor HaHar Al Gvul Eretz Edom. But if you know anything about where Eretz Edom is, Eretz Edom Halo Hu Bedroma Shal Eretz Yisrael. So how can you tell me that Hor HaHar is in a northern direction, located, turn towards the north, and you'll be heading towards Hor HaHar, when elsewhere Hor HaHar is identified as Eretz Edom? Now, which Hor HaHar was Aaron buried by? Aaron's buried by the Hor HaHar, it's clear in the positive, but Yal Aaron HaKohen El Hor HaHar, which is Biktzei Eretz Edom. So if I wanted to go to offer some tefillos, a shtikl tehillim, by the burial site of the great tzaddik, Aaron HaKohen, Tzeches Tzaddik V'Kodesh Levracha, Zechusei Yagen Aleinu, Aaron the brother of Moshe, I can't find him. Because I don't know where to look. So says the Kovetz Drushim, you know why you don't know where to look? V'alkein tzarech lomar, the same following in the ways of the Rashbam and Tosos and the many great Talmidei Chacham who came before, this Rav Leib Hertz suggests maybe there's two places called Hor HaHar. I don't know how else to resolve this. It could be that there's a Hor HaHar located in the southern part of Israel. V'echem b'tzfonis ma'aravis, and one to the northwest of Israel. U'mitmiya shalodibru shum echad me'amafar shemizeh. And he says, it's hard for me to imagine that I'm the first one to figure this out. But again, he says, I looked around and I didn't see any of the Mefarshim commenting on this. So unfortunately, because of this, we're going to have trouble locating. I guess we used to try to aim to try to find the southern Hor HaHar, but realize, don't be fooled, by the northern Hor HaHar, if you want to go daven by the burial site of Aharon HaKohen. Of all the examples I've given you so far, I've saved the best one for last. And the last example I want to give you is none other than Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. How many Yerushalayims does Klal Yisrael have? How many Yerushalayims? Let's learn a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hay, page 9 in our little booklet here. Yosef ben Yochanan, okay, in our gears we have Yosef ben Yochanan, but okay. Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim Omer. Right, who's the Zug introduced us over here? Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda, and Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. Our Penner spoke about them at the Chag HaSmicha in his drasha. These two great students of Antiglos Yishtocho were trying to save Klal Yisrael in the times of Hanukkah. So who is this Yosef ben Yoezer? And who is this Yosef ben Yochanan? Ish Yerushalayim? What does it mean to be the Ish Yerushalayim? He's Kohen Gadol? He wasn't Kohen Gadol. What does it mean to be the Ish Yerushalayim? So in the parish of Rabbeinu Yosef ben, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Shushan, I imagine. Is that a Sephardi name? Shushan?
Ben Shushan.
Ben Shushan. Yosef Ben Shushan. Ben Shushan, yeah? You know people named Ben Shushan? Yeah? Okay, it's Purim Dick. Ben Shushan.
Yeah, I'm not.
Who is this Rabbeinu Yosef Ben Shushan? I don't know much about him. I honestly don't know much about him. I forgot how I got to this. But I read in the Akdamot of the Sefer that he's quoted by some of the other Mefarshim. If you open the Medrash Shmuel, which is a pretty mainstream Sefer on Pirkei Avos, he quotes from this Rabbeinu Yosef ben Shushan. So they printed his Kisvayat. I don't remember how I found this source. But he says, what does it mean that Yosef ben Yochanan is the Ish Yerushalayim? So he says, to be the Ish Yerushalayim, to be the Ish Sreda, he says, Ish Sreda, HaGadol Shev Sreda. Ish Yerushalayim, HaGadol Shev Yerushalayim, the most Chashiv Jew from Yerushalayim. Yosef ben Yochanan was the Ish Yerushalayim. But there's something unsettling about that. To say that any one birth of Yerushalayim is dafka the place that was divided, that doesn't belong to any Shevet. It wasn't divided to a specific Shevet. It belongs to Klal Yisrael. And that one individual should be known as the Ish Yerushalayim, it's a pretty bold statement. As great as the Talmud Chacham as he was. So are there other approaches to dealing with the fact that he's called the Ish Yerushalayim, with the Gadol of the Yerushalayim? So if you look in the Rashbats, Rishon ben Tzedek, Duran, right? His Tshuvos are called Tashbats, because that stands for Tshuvos, Shimon ben Tzedek. But sometimes people call him the Tashbats. He's not the Tashbats. The Tshuvos of the Rashbats, or the Rashbats, are called the Tashbats. Right? But he is Rabbi Shimon ben Tzedek, Tzemach? Shimon ben Tzemach? Duran. I don't remember. So what does he write in his Magen Avos on Pirkei Avos? Yerushalayim u'makom ha-mikdash. Yes, he was the most outstanding personality from Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim. V'afal pi shebe Gemara Erechin. Hold on to your seats, my friends. Even though the Gemara Erechin tells us in Daf Lamed Beis that Tarte Yerushalayim have, we'll see that Gemara, that there are two Yerushalayims, but Stam Yerushalayim and his keres b'chol makom, he's osei edu ayom. But Stam Yerushalayim, what are you going to say? This is like the little Yerushalayim that none of us have even heard of. Stam Yerushalayim, Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim means that he's the Ish Yerushalayim, period. The Yerushalayim. If it's talking about the little Yerushalayim, it should say that. You know, if it's like Jerusalem, North Dakota, it should say, right, Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, parentheses, North Dakota. You can't write Yerushalayim and just assume that we're going to understand that, oh yeah, the Gemara in Erechin talks about the second Yerushalayim. Even the non-Jews refer to this place as Yerushalayim with a tzeire, right? In the Lashon of the Targum. Ki kain shema murkav me Hashem yira'eh shakara Avram. Where does Yerushalayim get its name from? It's a combination of Avram calling that place Hashem yira'eh. That's the Yeru part. What's the Shalem part? Right? It's also a combination of Hashem yira'eh shakara Avram umin Shalem shakara Hashem ben Noach. Malchi Tzedek Melech Shalem. So the combination of how Avram referred to the place and how Shem, also known as Malchi Tzedek, referred to it as Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Why do we call it, if it's Yerushalayim really, so why do we call it Yerushalayim? It sounds plural. An amazing thing he says here. Look at this. Lashon Shnayim. We call it Yerushalayim, almost as if it's a plural. Because Yerushalayim Shalmata, can I get Yerushalayim Shalmala? The name Yerushalayim has this dual meaning. Yerushalayim, the plural. Okay, but he is convinced that Stam Yerushalayim has to be what? Has to be the Yerushalayim. How can you tell me Yosef and Yochanan is from this small town Yerushalayim that none of us have ever heard of? But the Bnei Yisasser in his Dvarim Nechmadim says just the opposite. The Bnei Yisasser wrote an interesting little sefer called Dvarim Nechmadim on Shas. Interesting likud. And in there he says, I cannot accept. It is very difficult for me to believe. Like Rabbeinu Yosef ben Shoshan, or like the Magen Avos, that Yerushalayim means Yerushalayim. In fact, I'm much more comfortable saying that the pshat in this Mishnah is that, right? Meaning, the Bnei Yisrael says, how can it be you call one person the Ish Yerushalayim, the Gavul of Yerushalayim? So Rabbeinu Yosef ben Shoshan says, yeah, why not? Again, we don't know too much about him, but he was apparently a chashuv individual. And he felt comfortable saying such a thing. The Bnei Yisrael said that it can't be. But Tzvi Eli Melech of Dinah writes, Lefi Masha Pirshu, Ish, Hainu Adon, Visar, Lamakomahu. If Ish means the chashuv individual from that place, Kasha Lomar, Yosef ben Yochanan, Hayasar al Yerushalayim, he was the leader of Yerushalayim, Rav Shalomar. Shem Makom Beir Achas Beret Yisrael, Hay Yerushalayim. The Ein Zos Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. Apparently, says Bnei Sassler, it makes more sense to say that there's another place, a small city, called Yerushalayim. We have the big Yerushalayim, we have the small Yerushalayim. It's not the Yerushalayim, the Yer Kodesh. V'chein Ashkecham the Gemara, and so too we find in the Gemara in Erech in Detre Yerushalayim Havu, that there are two places known as Yerushalayim. Now, to learn the context of the Gemara in Erech is going to take a bit of time for us. So, I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. But I wanted to show this to you inside, just so you believe that this is... There's a whole discussion here about Batei Arechoma. A person sells a home in a walled city. How much time does he have to redeem it? If he doesn't act upon it, can he lose his ancestral lands? Selling fields, selling walled cities. Right? All of the whole sugya of Maseches, the 7th, 8th, and 9th parak of Maseches Erechin, based on the psukim in Bechukosai. Right? Erechin and Temura are back-to-back series of psukim parshas Bechukosai. So there's a whole discussion here in trying to identify some walled cities. And really, in Daf Lamed Beis Mem Aleph, there's a whole discussion, walled cities, and it gives a whole list of walled cities. Says Yerushalayim is one of the walled cities. And then a whole discussion breaks out about Yerushalayim. Do the rules of Batei Rechoma apply to Yerushalayim? How do we treat Yerushalayim? Comes along Rav Ashi, about 10 lines in. Rav Ashi Amar, Lav Omar Rav Yosef. Didn't Rav Yosef say in Maseches Makos, in an entirely different context, that there's two places called Kadesh? Didn't he want to resolve a question of a location by saying there's in fact two places by that name? So says Rav Ashi, guess what? You're getting all bent out of shape out of Brisa, so that puts Yerushalayim in a category of dinim that we know from elsewhere don't apply in Yerushalayim. Guess what? There's two places called Yerushalayim. Hachanami, Trey, Yerushalayim, Havu. There's two places called Yerushalayim. Not so crazy, not so problematic. Comes along Tosos. Now, if you go back to the third line, let's just look at the third line of the Gemara. It quotes Rava. In the third line, Rava says, "Gamla begalil lafuke gamla deshar artzos." When it mentions gamla, just realize this is this gamla as opposed to that gamla. The gamla of Israel as opposed to the gamla outside of Israel. Question is, when we talk about Yerushalayim, we're talking about two Yerushalayims. In Eretz Yisrael, we talk about Yerushalayim outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim in the territory of Yehuda, and Yerushalayim outside of Yehuda. How exactly does this work? So it says Tosos. Vitema, Dila Rava Nami Anu Tzrichin Lomar Kein, Detre Yerushalayim Hab. According to Rava, you should also say there's two Yerushalayims, no? Why is Rav Ashi the only one saying there's two Yerushalayims? Vish Lomar, Dila Rava Ein Anu Tzrichin Lomar, Bi Yehuda Tre Yerushalayim Hab. El Bashar Artzos. According to the Rava said of that, he holds that what? That there's a Gamla in Eretz Yisrael and there's a Gamla elsewhere. So we can say the same thing by Yerushalayim. But you know what Rav Ashi is telling us? Rav Ashi is telling us not only are there two Yerushalayims, but the two Yerushalayims are actually located not so far from each other. Aval Rav Ashi Tzarech Lomar Bi Yehuda Tre Yerushalayim. So Einach Anami, everyone agrees that there's two places called Yerushalayim. Rava and Rav Ashi would both agree to that. The question is, where exactly are they located? Would we say that the second Yerushalayim is also near the first Yerushalayim? That there's two Yerushalayims in the territory that we call Yehuda? Can we bring a proof for Rava or for Rav Ashi. So if you look in the Rosh Hashanah on page 13, the Rosh Hashanah narrative, and with this we'll conclude the first, the location part of our shir. We'll move on to names. Says the Rosh Hashanah in a very short, small comment on page 13 by the arrow, Minira Lee, I'll bring a raya that what? Like Rava. I'll bring a raya that you can't say that the two Yerushalayims are both in the territory called Yehuda. You have to have Bekias, the Rosh Hashanah, Rav Strashon. Right? He was a businessman, but he was also a big Talmud Chacham. And he says you have to have Bekias in Tanakh. What does he write? Rav Shmuel Strashon. He says, Raya midichsiv berosh Ezra, look in Ezra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, what will you find? What does it say there? It says, B'Yerushalayim asher b'Yehuda. At the beginning of Ezra, it talks about the Yerushalayim in Yehuda. So it says the Rosh Hashanah, the Yerushalayim in Yehuda, as opposed to what? As opposed to the other, everyone agrees there's another Yerushalayim, but where is the other Yerushalayim? If you're telling me this is Yerushalayim in Yehuda, the same way you told me that Beis Lechem, Yehuda, and you told me Be'er Sheva, Yehuda, so it must be that the other Yerushalayim is where? Is not in Yehuda. And therefore, it's more mistaber based on Tanakh, says the Rosh Hashanah, like Rava. Again, everyone agrees there's two Yerushalayims. But the Rosh Hashanah says, the Yerushalayim asher b'Yehuda miklal de'ika achrisa she'ena b'Yehuda. Which again would lead us to some type of conclusion in the Gemara, whose sheet do you want to follow? In learning the sugya of Batei Arichoma, you want to follow Rava, you want to follow Rav Ashi. Tanakh seems to point us in the direction that there is a Yerushalayim in Yehuda, and there's a Yerushalayim outside of Yehuda. However, we're not going to read it inside, we're going to skip ahead, but just so you should be aware, in the Maisa Choshev on page 14, in his writings of Maseches Erechin, he says, and I'll just bring this to your attention because it's very interesting to follow, and I once thought you could say something in Pirkei Avos based on this, but I'm not sure if you can. Yerushalayim is sometimes spelled with a second yud and sometimes without a second. How do you spell Yerushalayim? How do you spell Yerushalayim? Yud, Resh, Vav, Yeru, Shah, La. Now what happens? So sometimes it's spelled Lam and Mem, sometimes it's spelled Lam and Yud Mem. So there's a whole idea that Lasid Lavo, we're going to spell it Lam and Yud Mem, Malay. Right now it's Chaser. It's missing the second Yud. But that's an important piece. Whether or not the Yerushalayim is spelled with an additional Yud might be an important piece. If you look in Ezra, on that Pasuk, it's spelled without the Yud. So the Maisa Choshev wants to say, it could be the two Yerushalayims or in Yehuda. And the way that it distinguishes between them is in one place it's spelled Yerushalayim with the extra yud, in one place without the extra yud. So he wants to defend Rav Ashi. It's a whole brilliant little shtickle that he has here. Why is it so interesting to us? Because it might help us to resolve the machlokas that we saw between the Bnei Yisachar and who? And who? And Rabbi Yosef Ben Shoshan. Right? And the Rashbits. Because they're very comfortable saying that Yerushalayim is the Yerushalayim. Right? And we might want to say, like the Bnei Yisachar, that no, it must be the other Yerushalayim. So all we have to really do, according to the conclusion of the Maisa Choshev, and according to the Tosfos Maseches Tanis on page 15, if we wanted to look carefully, we could maybe conclude that let's just go see how Yerushalayim is spelled in Pirkei Avos. When it says that Yosef, Ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, so how is Yerushalayim spelled in that context? If it's spelled with the extra Yud, we know it's the Yerushalayim. If it's spelled without the Yud, then what? Then maybe it's the smaller Yerushalayim. Problem is, you look in different Pirkei Avos, sometimes it's with the Yud, sometimes it's without the Yud, and the evidence seems to be inconclusive. But I was hopeful. I remember when I learned that Tosfos in Tanis, I got all excited. Oh, we could use this to solve that question of the Bnei Yisachar. But it's not so simple that that's the answer, because it's hard to know what the real, if there is a real Girsa in Pirkei Avos. It's not like a pasuk in Tanakh that has a more authoritative girsa, okay? But we have to be careful when we talk about different places, because it's easy to mix up different places, and it's just important for us to understand that you can have two places with the same name, and in fact they're referenced to very different places, both in Tanakh and in many other areas as well. Let's move on to names. In names you also can encounter the same thing. There are two people in Tanakh called Mephibosheth. There are two people in Tanakh called Devorah. There's Devorah Menekes Rivka. There's Devorah, the prophetess. There are three people in Tanakh called Avinadav. So when it comes to analyzing names, we have to be very careful that we know what we're talking about. Let's take a few examples of some well-known people, some righteous, some wicked, some sometimes righteous, sometimes wicked. We'll try to sift through. Who was Og Melech HaBashan? What do we know about Og? Og's a weird story. Right. Og is maybe being saved by Noach. Og is being killed by Moshe. Who is Og? What's the story with Og? I'll make it even more complicated. A couple of summers ago, I got this weird idea that I like learning Das Sakenim of the Balei HaTosfos. I don't even know Chumash Rashi. I decided I like learning the Balei HaTosfos because they say very unusual things. So I started just reading through Das Sakenim of the Balei HaTosfos, and they say very unusual things. Very, very wild things. So look at this one, Chai Sar. If you're ever looking just for something strange to say on the Parsha, try the Das Sakenim. You'll usually find a very, just a very, very mechudash. The Balei HaTosfos always have the approach that's very different than what you find in, you know, Rashi or Ramban or Ben Ezra. Look what they write here. Balei HaTosfos are trying to figure out who exactly is Eliezer. Eliezer Eved Avraham. Well, different traditions. In the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, it says by the first arrow, Eliezer was the son of Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Eliezer was the son of Cham. Eliezer was the son, so Eliezer was Noah's grandson. Okay. We pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Eliezer, Eved Avraham, is the same person as Og Melech HaBashan. Okay. V'hachi Idbar Hasam, that Eliezer, the elder of Avram's house, right, is that Eliezer, who was an Eved La'olam, because Shagamal Chesed and Yitzchak, eventually he was freed and he became a Melech, and then he came back, Eliezer comes back later as this giant that Moshe is fighting, Og Melech HaBashan. What? You know what the hardest part is, says the Balei HaTosfos? Forget the timeline. Forget the Metzius of what he looked like. Right? Just Pashim. Eliezer is the tzaddik, and Og is coming to beat up Klal Yisrael. So what's going on here? V'kasha, harei Og Rasha haya, u'Moshe hargo, v'Eliezer was a tzaddik. V'gam v'zeches sofrim. Choshuv lei mitisha shenichle subganei d'b'chayim. There's a list in a couple places. In Derech Haredzuta, it's in different places in these minor tractates. A list of people who made it into Olam Haba, alive. You know who's on the list? It's a strange list. It's a very unusual list. Eliezer's on that list. And Og gets killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could it be that Og is the same as Eliezer? What are we talking about? How do we reconcile all these different midrashic traditions if we want to? And again, like we said in Shir the other day, the Balei HaTosfos always try to reconcile things. The Svardish Rishonim, they're not always so busy. They're okay with different approaches. But what does Tosfos always try to do? I heard this from Rav Shachter. What does Tosfos always try to do? Tosfos always tries to reconcile things. Balei says, the Gemara here doesn't fit with the Gemara here. So Tosfos comes up with a Chiddush to tie it all together. Always to make things nice and smooth. That's how the Balei Tosfos work. So how do they make it nice and smooth here? Instead of just saying, why can't you say it's a Chalukei Midrashos? Different Shitas in the Medrash. They try to smooth it out. How do they smooth it out? Look what they say. Vitzarech Loma, where it's underlined, Sheshnei Og Melech HaBashanayu. You always thought there was one person called Og Melech HaBashan. Guess what? Alex, guess what? There's more than one person called Og Melech HaBashan. Echad Rosh Hashargu Moshe, and the other one was a tzaddik who was a melech who was, in his previous lifetime, or the previous stages of his life, was known as Eliezer Eved Avram. Ukesham Malach Nikra Shemo Og. And if you think that's funny that there could be two kings with the same name, he says, think about Mitzrayim. Paro, 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 right? That's how it is. Kosh Mitzinu B'chol Malchim Mitzrayim Shnikram Paro. So no problem. You don't need to run into confusion when you come to these midrashim. You don't need to work out the long life of Og. And you don't need to work out the long life of Bilam. Bilam's also a character who seems to hang around forever. How do you deal with that? Where does Bilam start? Where do we first encounter Bilam? Gemara and Sota. The Gemara and Sota says that when Paro decided to deal with the Jewish people, he had three advisors. One of them was Bilam. And then, way later, Bilam is still hanging around. At the end of Klal Yisrael's stay in the Midbar, Bilam is still around. Says the Chizkuni, at the beginning of Shemos, Ve'im Tomar, where it's underlined, Hey Cherech Yamim Mikodem Shenolad Moshe Rabbeinu. How could Bilam be around from prior to Moshe's birth? Ad Milchemes Midyan in the 40th year, Litzei Samirat Tzitzrayim. So you could say, he's really old. Or you could say, Yesh Lomar Trey Bilam Hava. There were two people called Bilam. The Bilam of Paro and the Bilam of much later seem to both be really bad guys. Yeah, they were both really bad guys. And you know what? They were related. Zeh Avi Aviv was his grandfather. The Bilam that we encounter, right, it was causing us trouble, trying to curse us. The whole situation with Mohammed Midian over there in Bamidbar is the grandson of the Bilam who stood by Paro's side and was an advisor to Paro. And again, we're able to come to a more rational understanding of how there could be a Bilam there and a Bilam there, and they seem to be similar. idea we don't have to suggest that Bilam lived for so many years. Sometimes you find it even in Gemara. The Baalei HaTosfos, again, always try to make things smooth. Putting aside what the context is even, but in Gemara Kedushin, the Gemara seems to suggest that Rav Kahana was a Kohen. Says Tosfos, but the Gemara Pesachim says that Rav Kahana is not a Kohen. So says Tosfos, Kedushin, Daf Chasam Aleph, where it's underlined, the Trey, Rav Kahana, Havu. Maybe there's two Rav Kahanas, even though historical evidence doesn't really point us in that direction. Right? From elsewhere in Shas, you wouldn't get the impression that there's two Rav Kahana. There's Rav Kahana. And yet, you have conflicting Mamari Chazal about the status of Rav Kahana. Was he a Yisrael? Was he a Kohen? What's his status? Tosfos gives the second answer where he tries to resolve the Gemara differently. But the most simple way out is to say there's two people that were called Rav Kahana. What about Eliyahu? We talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. People get very confused with Eliyahu HaNavi because Eliyahu HaNavi became sort of angelic. But he started off as a person. And there's other Malachim maybe also called Eliyahu, and it gets very confusing. So in the Gemara in Kedushin, it describes how a person who marries a bad wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu beats him up over it. Eliyahu kofsov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotsov. Eliyahu straps him in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu whips him into shape. Says Rashi, Kedushin dav ayin amad aleph, just be careful, says Rashi. Hi Eliyahu, lav Eliyahu dechsiv b'mikrohu. This Eliyahu is not the Eliyahu who is the Navi in Tanakh. Dim kain, mikamei davi ase man kafse. Because it says here that Hashem punished people who marry bad wives. So that only started, what, once Eliyahu went up to heavens? What happened? Who used to do that before Eliyahu? Says Rashi, it must be there's a Malach whose name was Eliyahu, who's in charge of keeping track of the records in Shemayim. So don't be confused with the Eliyahu from Tanakh, with some other Eliyahu who exists out there. And again, there are many, many more examples. I see that we're very much running out of time, and I want to jump ahead. But just, again, Al Regal Achas, on page 20, Elisha ben Avuya is quoted in the Mesachas Moed Katan. Elisha ben Avuya is a Rosh Hashem Rishon. Why are we quoting him for Psak Halacha? Says the Rav Yaakov Emden, the Ayavitz, that it's not the same Elisha ben Avuya. We're trying to figure out when Yashka lived. Says Rav Avad Yosef in his Pirkei Avos and Afetz Avos, maybe there's more than one person called Yeshua. So at the end of the day, there are people who are confusing. There are places that are confusing. But Lamaisa, what does all this do for us? With 3 minutes left, what does all this do for us? I think what it does for us is it teaches us a Yisod in Avos Yisrael. Let's focus on people, not so much places. On people. Sometimes you meet a person, you think it's one person, and it's really someone else. And I think the lesson for us is that we shouldn't be so quick to judge. There's a great story that one time one of the students of Isser Zalman Meltzer was looking out the window. And he saw the Brisker Rav coming down the street. So he turned to Rav Isser Zalman and said, the Brisker Rav is coming. So Rav Isser Zalman jumped up and he grabbed his Shabbos hat, he put on his Shabbos coat, and he started to go outside. And as he approached the fellow, he saw that it was someone who looked a lot like the Brisker Rav. And he invited him into the house, he was mechabed him, and he made him a nice meal, and he sat with him, and he was like, mamish, totally, like, way, like, overboard. So the student said, come on, Lamaisa, wasn't the Brisker Rav? So he said, just because we are normally, you know, because of our human tendencies, we're mechabed certain people more, certain people less, but does anyone know the value of a single Jew? So just because, you know, I thought it was a Brisker Rav, but Lamaisa, it's a Yid. And a Yid deserves all the kavod that the Brisker Rav deserves. Right? And that's an attitude that we have to have when it comes to evaluating people. Whether it's this person, whether it's that person. Whether it's, you know, Eliyahu number one or Eliyahu number two, it's Bilam number one, Bilam number two. It's Elisha ben Avuya the wicked or Elisha ben Avuya that's teaching us halacha. Right, to be able to look at a person and to try to see only the goodness in that person. And not to judge a person based on who he is. There's a very famous mice with the Beis Halevi. The Har Tzvi brings it on page 23. Just bekitzer, because we're mamish out of time. But the Har Tzvi brings this great story. The Beis Halevi one time was traveling. Right, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Mibrisk. He was traveling, came to an inn. And the innkeeper wasn't in the mood for him. And he stuffed him in a corner. And some Hasidic Rebbe showed up a while later. And there was a big commotion. He came with, you know, basically he was traveling by himself. No big deal. This big Rebbe comes. He's got his big entourage. They come in. And the innkeeper's mechavid him. He gives him a nice room. And he sees that the Beis Halevi is sleeping like behind the stove in some little, to the back of the kitchen. And he says, Beis Halevi, Slutskarov, what are you doing here? And when the Baal Achsani realizes that it was the Beis Halevi, he felt horrible. He said, oh, had I known it was you, I would have treated you differently. And the Beis Halevi says, now I understand the pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. What's the pasuk? We don't have time to read the source inside, but let's read the pasuk at least. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael lishkav es bas Yaakov v'chein lo yaseh. After the whole terrible tragedy, the raping of Dina, what does the pasuk say? Yaakov says, it's an abomination to do such a thing to a daughter of Yaakov. But guess what? V'chein lo yaseh, you shouldn't do this to anyone. If you think this is only such a terrible crime because of the context of who you hurt, I thought it was someone else. Had I known, I was the daughter of... It doesn't matter. You can't do this to any person. And if you're going to judge a person, again, based on who you thought they were, you're going to make a mistake. And the same thing is true with Tov. And I'll end with this. The same thing is true with Tov. Sometimes you look at a person. I remember when I was a kid, someone came over to me. I said, what's your name? I said, Weinberg. They said, is your grandfather Yaakov Weinberg? So I said, yes, my grandfather is Yaakov. My grandfather was Jack Weinberg. So I said, yes, my grandfather is Yaakov Weinberg. So I said, is your grandfather Rosh Hashiva of Ne'er Yisrael? So at that point I said, I don't think my grandfather is Shira. I was very confused. There's more than one Yaakov Weinberg in the world. But you know what? They're all chashuv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just end with an amazing maisa. When Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was sick, in Eretz Yisrael there was endless amounts of tefillah, especially that last Shabbos. People were davening. Everyone knew Shlomo Zalman and Rivka, everyone was davening. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, he didn't survive. Imagine, hundreds of thousands of people at his levaya, across the spectrum, so beloved. And there was a taina, Klai saw the taina, come on, all this tefillah for nothing. There was a woman who said that she was the person who understood what happened to all those tefillahs. What was the story? There was a woman in New York, and she spent that Shabbos nowhere near Eretz Yisrael. She was in Kings County Hospital with her brother, who had been hit by a car. Who was her brother? Shlomo Handler. What was Shlomo Handler's name? Shlomo Zalman ben Rivka. And when Shlomo Zalman ben Rivka was in the hospital with that child, she had no idea that hundreds, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Jews on the other side of the world were davening that Shabbos, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis and save Shlomo Zalman ben Rivka. And Klal Yisrael saw that Shlomo Zalman ben Rivka didn't make it. Hey, what happened to all our tefillos? She wrote an article. She said, "I know what happened to all the tefillos of Shlomo Zalman ben Rivka. It said my brother, the doctor said, there's no chance he's going to survive. The tefillah goes somewhere. It went somewhere. So, Mirtz Hashem, there's a lot more that we can take out of. I bombard you with all these Mayim Makomos tonight. But we should realize how to look at a Jew. That sometimes there's more than one person with the same name. And Lamaisa, a person can choose what type of person he wants to be. Do you want to be the Tzaddik version of the Lishman of Buya or the Russia version? Do you want to be the Tzaddik version of Og Melech HaBashan or the Russia version? Right? To realize that the names, that we sometimes carry are not necessarily the essence of who we are. And Mirtz Hashem, we shouldn't make the mistake of looking at a Jew in the wrong way. Alright. I hope it was interesting. I know it was strange, but I hope it was interesting.